The Awkwardly Awesome Adventures of Super Pizza. Chapter 10. The giant fridge stood on the opposite side of the massive water fountain. He stepped again to his left, and I moved to mine. He stepped to his right, and I matched his moves yet again. Tony, the refrigerator spoke. How do you know my name?
We're the same, Tony, his robotic voice cackled.
No, we're not.
Haven't you always felt out of place? He said, pacing around the fountain.
I didn't say anything.
Oh, the whole town loves you now. Of course they do. Ha, ha. But it's only because you did something for them. It's because you served them. But you'll never be one of them, Tony. They will always think you are weird. Always. And at some point, they'll turn against you.
What is it you want? I asked.
I want the bottle, the refrigerator answered.
What bottle? I asked.
The bottle of life. You know where it is, don't you?
I don't know anything about this bottle, I admitted.
You know, there are others like you. It's not just me and not just you. You could join us. You could have the family you never actually had.
I have a family. I have my dad. He let out a high-pitched static cackle.
Where is your dad? Where is he right now?
You have him, I answered.
Why would I want a washed-up villain?
So he'll recreate the elixir for you, I answered.
He refused. But I need the bottle.
I swear, I don't know anything about the bottle, I told him. But where is my dad? You captured him.
Wrong, the refrigerator answered. I'm here to capture you as leverage. If you can't lead me to the bottle, then you leave me no other option. Then again, it might just be easier with the fridge. Using the freeze and dissect method. Just cut out the doctor entirely.
I stared at his left hand where an enormous ice ball continued to form behind the gunked up grease. He spun around and faced Iris, lobbing a giant ice ball from his ice machine. She rolled away right as it pounded the ground, leaving a giant crater. Grab the light post, she yelled. I sprinted forward as an ice ball missed my giant pizza head. And I booked it, dodging another ice ball from reaching the pole as I wrapped my greasy hand around it. Toward me, she yelled, sprinting my direction. I reached out and smack. I didn't even see it. I looked up at the blurry dark sky. My head was woozy, but I wrapped my hand around the lamppost. You've got a crack, she said. It's not bad, but we need to get you to a... Is there even a... A hospital that serves slices of pizza? I think pretty much every hospital cafeteria serves pizza, I joked. I chuckled, but it hurt to laugh. My whole body ached. The robot stomped toward us. Just stay put, Iris warned.
Don't worry, I'm not going anywhere, I whispered.
Another ice ball flew by, just barely missing my crust. I need you to see if you can anchor yourself around the trash can, she said, her eyes fixed on the fridge. Got it. I crawled toward the trash can and wrapped my arms around the grimy bin. It smelled like raw sewage. I held my breath. My arms were now stretched out between the garbage can and the lamppost. Hey, Fridgy Fridge! Fridgy Freak! You can't take me down, Iris yelled. Running toward the refrigerator. It chased her across the field and around the trees. She looped back, racing toward the light post. The robot was less than a yard away, and she ran my direction, the fridge on her tail. Suddenly, she stopped and ducked under my cheesy arm. The robot flew forward, tripping on my cheesy arm. And as I let go, the garbage can shot forward, flipping upside down and face-planting on the grass. My arm was throbbing, but we had done it. The fridge was stuck on the ground. Iris jumped on top. Grab any rubble you can and set it on top of it, she yelled. Nobody helped. It's gonna get back if we don't put some weight on it. The police ran forward, piling on the fridge. We did it, I lifted my hand in a high five. But right then, a metal arm clutched my arm. Someone grabbed the chains, an officer said. But as they spun around, the fridge pulled himself up and held me in the air, dangling me like a chew toy. Where is the bottle? He said. I don't know, I answered, trying to slide my slippery arms through his metal grip. Don't lie. I don't know where it is, I said. His door popped open, and he grabbed a can of pineapples. This could ruin me. No, please, no, I begged. I'll use it, the fridge said. Wait, I have it, a man yelled. I recognized my dad's voice the moment I heard it. Dad, what are you doing here? He stepped up to the robot and held up a jar of glowing green liquid. Let him go and I'll give you the jar, my dad said. Hand me the jar, the fridge answered, squeezing the can tighter and popping the lid off of it. His grip loosened slightly, and right then I slid my arm through and fell to the ground, narrowly dodging a chunk of pineapple. I'm free. The fridge spun around. I snagged the jar from my dad, unsure of what to do. And then I sprinted down the field, the fridge trailing behind me. Book it! He's on your tail, Iris yelled. Tail. That's it. He had an electric tail. I knew exactly what to do. I darted down the hill, sprinted up the water fountain, my head pounding, my whole body aching. Clink! His metal finger tapped the jar. I held it tighter, right up to my cheesy face, almost there. My legs were turning to jelly. I'd have to clear the entire fountain or be a soggy slice of pizza. But I had to do it. I could feel his icy breath on my back, just inches away. I lunged forward and slapped the ground. And with that, I flipped through the air upside down, screaming as I dodged the statue's head at the top of the fountain. The fridge screeched to a halt, but crashed into the edge, flipping over and falling to the fountain with a loud sizzle. I collapsed to the ground as the refrigerator let out a shriek. He'll be fine. He's just short-circuiting, that's all, Iris said. And sure enough, the police pulled him up and chained up the mutant fridge. Give me the electric, it gurgled as they pulled it out. That's when the reporters arrived, shoving microphones in my face. What was that like for you? I don't know. What are you going to do next? I'm going to take a nap, or I guess it's too late for a nap. I'm going to go to bed. What's your favorite food? It's an odd question from a reporter, but ranch dressing, what else? What's in the jar you're holding? Ouch, a man yelled. What was that? Did you feel it? It's like my underwear is shrinking, another reporter asked. Somebody's giving me a wedgie, another reporter complained. Is my butt getting big? Another reporter asked. No, it's that underwear shrink ray. Dr. Repugno is out of hiding, one of them said. Dr. Repugno is back, another yelled. Tony, my dad signaled me forward. I ran toward him and hugged him. My greasy arm stuck to his lab coat. We did it, he said nervously. When did you show up? I asked. We need to get home, he said, as we hopped into his car, dodging the reporters. I blinked at the flashing cameras. I need to say goodbye to Iris, I pointed out. There's no time, he said, clicking his seatbelt. We've stopped the mutant fridge, I said. I mean, we were a team right there, Dad. I was so scared. I told you to stay out of our lair, he said. I'm disappointed with you, but I'm relieved that you're alive. I thought they had kidnapped you, I said. For a while, we just sat there in silence. I was so scared, he repeated. He kept saying it over and over and over again. Tears were welling up in his eyes. He still looked terrified. I should have left you a note when I left this morning. I've been chasing after that refrigerator all day long. I wanted to shrink it down, but I never did get the shrink ray to work properly. It's still stuck in the underwear mode. Why is the refrigerator attacking right now? I asked. I don't know, he said,
turning the corner and heading up the hill toward our driveway. It's been 11 years and then there's been nothing and then now there's just this. Dad, I'm not sure this is the end of it. The refrigerator said that there were others. There are, he said. Who's behind it, I asked. He shrugged his shoulders. I don't know, but someone sent me this note yesterday. He handed me the note. Dr. Repugno, you have 24 hours to reproduce the mutant formula or I will unleash my first weapon on the city. Sincerely, the Incinerator. Who is the Incinerator, I asked. I have no idea. First weapon, I asked. Did he really just say that was his first weapon? Him? The Incinerator could be a her. We don't know. I have no idea how many weapons there are or who the Incinerator is. As our gate opened, he turned to me and said, Tony, you were impressive out there. Thanks. So does that mean I get to be a full-time hero now? He took a deep breath. Tony, you're just a kid. And yeah, you're okay right now, but your crust is kind of cracked. And I really feel like maybe you shouldn't be a hero. They'll find someone else who can stay on top of this, okay? Okay. I fought back tears. I knew this was ridiculous. He was right. I'm 11 years old. I have no business being a hero, but still, I wanted to do this. But I think I'm going to let you enroll in school again and give you another chance. And I'll loosen up on the TV restrictions. Minutes later, I sat down on my bed and flipped on the television. Crowds were gathering in the town square with signs reading, Thank you, Super Pizza. And there were kids dressed up as flaming hot wings. The mayor stood in front of a podium. We have experienced a true disaster. It is an evil that we have never seen in the city, but I promise this, you will rebuild. Wait a second, I read this wrong. We will rebuild. I mean, I won't work any of the heavy machinery or any of that, but we all, as a city, we will be a part of it. We will rebuild. It was an awkward speech, but the crowd still cheered. And I want to offer a special thanks to our two young heroes. I would first like to congratulate Flaming Hot Wings on her bravery and insight. The crowd erupted in deafening applause. Iris looked down at her feet in embarrassment. And I'd also like to congratulate our second hero. Pizza, 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 they yelled. They're chanting my name, I muttered. Although he is not here to receive it, I would like to extend an offer to give him a key to the city. She stood there holding an enormous key. And I'd like to extend this to Flaming Hot Wings as well. She stood there beaming. Now, I couldn't imagine that the key actually opened any doors, but still, I'd love to have it hanging up in our lair. That would be so cool. And I would also like to make an official pronouncement. From this day forward, I would like to declare this Pizza and Wings Night. As the crowd cheered, Iris stepped up to the podium and yelled, Be wildly and unabashedly different! And there it was. There was no turning back. That was our awkwardly awesome catchphrase. An hour later, I heard a knock on the door. When I answered it, Iris stood there, holding a giant bottle of ranch dressing and a hunk of Parmesan cheese, and a bag of items for herself. It was late, and the breeze cut straight through me. But I sat out there on the porch with her. I think this is only the beginning, I told her. Yeah. She let out a deep breath before taking a bite out of her celebratory candy bar. Do you still think my dad was behind this, I asked. She shook her head. No, I was wrong about that. I could tell it was hard for her to say that. My dad said it's a villain named the Incinerator, I added. I've never heard of that villain, she said. So what good does today do if we didn't stop the real villain? I asked. A hero can't save the world. A hero can't even save the city. The best a hero can do is save the day. And you know what? We saved the day. Pizza Tony, who never leaves his home, and Incognito Iris, who spends all of her days making calculations. We did it. I tipped up my jar of ranch dressing. To being different. To being different, she said, tapping her soda can against my ranch dressing. Yeah.